Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Today, I really felt on my heart to, when it comes to the healing journey, to speak from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, whilst you're opening your Bibles, some looking to the screen, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your presence that is here, your presence that is always with us. Lord, as we look at your word, we seek your heart, we seek your will. We want your heart, we want what you want. So we thank you, God, that as we go through this today, you would speak to each person so personally, that you would set the captives free, that you would heal the brokenhearted. Your Spirit is here. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, even more. Come, Holy Spirit. So what we want to look at today is actually talk about what's inside. You know, when we think about healing, we can quickly think about the physical, and we see Jesus performing miracles, people being healed in the Bible. For some, you've seen physical healings on this earth. For some, you haven't yet, but God is still in the business of healing. For some, you're contending for healing from disease, from sickness. God is in the business of that. But I don't want to focus too much on that today. That's not what God's put on my heart for today. That's what God does, but God also heals the heart. The inside. We need to pay attention to what is inside the heart. When you think about the heart in the physical, it's such a vital organ. You can't live without the heart. The heart pumps blood to all the parts of your body. It's part of the circulatory system where blood goes through all the blood vessels, and the scientists say what? The heart is such a vital part. It gives life to the body. It works with the lungs. It works with all of the body. But in a bit of a similar way, the heart emotionally, the heart internally is so vital. It's the central, innermost part of the human being. Your heart, what is inside you? Do you pay attention to your heart? Because it is emotionally the control center. Do you pay attention to the control center of your life? The seat of every passion. The filter of all your decisions. The heart is where your will is. It is the inner man, the inner woman. The spirit being is connected to the heart. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." That word bind up, to tie together, to restore. In the New King James Version, if we can have that up, it says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." To bind up is to heal. Jesus is saying these words. These words in the book of Isaiah is actually part of a series of prophecy where actually the suffering servant, the Messiah who is to come, it's his song, it's his words. This is actually Jesus speaking, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Can you see those words today? That Jesus was coming and he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to bring healing to the brokenhearted. You think about a broken heart. He's not talking about a physical broken heart, because you would be dead. They would be dead if their hearts were just all in pieces, broken. He's talking about the emotional side of things. The control center of your thoughts, of your will, of your mind, of your desires, of your passion. When you think, has my heart ever been broken? Maybe it was that guy, maybe it was that girl. Think about what a heartbreak feels like. To have your heart broken, that's not just the only heartbreak we're talking about today. The heartbreak we're talking about is actually, when you talk about a broken heart, it's a metaphor for this emotional, intense pain that we can go through. Emotional, intense pain. It could be stress that one would feel, that you would feel at experiencing loss. Not just loss, but great loss. A broken heart can come from a deep longing. Maybe there's something you've been longing for, still hasn't come, and your heart can be broken. Intense emotional stress or pain that one feels in experiencing great loss or deep longing. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, he came to heal the brokenhearted. In Luke chapter 4 verse 18, Jesus, we've seen Jesus has just been baptized. John baptizes him. The heavens open up and the Father sends down that dove. The dove comes down. The Holy Spirit comes down like a dove, descends on Jesus. And God says, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus then goes out of there. He's led into the desert, into the wilderness, is tested. 40 days, 40 nights. God is preparing him for the hardships that are going to come, the ministry that's going to come. He's then empowered by the Holy Spirit, full of the Spirit, full of the Word. He goes to do what the Lord has called him to do. And his first encounter in the book of Luke, he goes to his hometown and he goes into the temple in Luke chapter 4, and he gets up and he opens the scroll of Isaiah that we just read, and those words come out of his mouth. Luke 4, 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Man, they were familiar with those words. He says, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. When he talks about the poor, he's talking about the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. The word says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. We all need to have that sense of being poor in spirit, that we don't have enough of God. We need more of him. We should never be satisfied. He says, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus, a few verses after that, says, this scripture has been fulfilled today. What was he talking to them about? What are the broken hearts they were experiencing? Back in Isaiah, what Isaiah is referring to, the Israelites had been through captivity in exile. They had been prisoners. Their city of Jerusalem had been ruined. They didn't have a temple anymore. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to come and heal the broken heart. I'm going to come and set the captives free. I want to ask you today, when you hear that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, are you one of them? Am I one of them? Has your heart been broken? Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Am I one of them? See, even as Christians, even with Jesus in our lives, we can walk around with broken hearts. This is not just for people that don't know God. This is Jesus' ongoing ministry through the Holy Spirit. Today, he heals the brokenhearted. He fulfilled that scripture. Our hearts can be broken today. You might be walking with a broken heart. What are the things that break our hearts? Disappointment? Anyone ever been disappointed? Maybe right now you're walking through disappointment. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Loss of relationship. That breaks your heart. Breakdown. Going through a divorce or a separation. Maybe you're just part of that through being a child because of your parents. Maybe you went through that growing up. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Any relationship breakdown can break your heart. Loss of jobs, loss of finance, people betraying you. Unanswered prayer will break your heart. It can break your heart. You've been praying for something for so long, but you're like, Lord, what is going on? And we can live with broken hearts because of that. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Maybe you feel that you failed at something. And maybe you did fail. Like failure happens. It's just part of life. But we've got to fail forward and keep moving and not get stuck in the broken heart of that. But maybe it's failure. Maybe it's rejection. People rejecting you, or you feel rejected even though maybe they're not rejecting you just because of something you've gone through in your life. These are all real things that Jesus came to deal with. And the question is, are we bringing those things to Jesus because he wants to heal them? How is he going to heal them unless we actually face those things and bring them to him and say, this is what I'm going through. There's been abuse in my life, whether it's physical abuse, verbal abuse, domestic violence, whatever it is, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. When you lose a loved one, someone dies that is close, our hearts can be broken. Any kind of lack, when there's a lack that you perceive or see in your life, these are the things today that potentially break our hearts. But how does something that is broken get fixed? How does something that is broken get mended? It is to be restored. It is to be put back together. And Jesus says, I came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to restore. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He restores my soul. It's throughout the Bible. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Are you one of them? Psalm 34 verse 18 shows us that Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, is in the business of restoration, restoring broken hearts. It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Are you one of them? Am I one of them? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. See, when our hearts are broken, we can feel so far from him. But this actually tells us that he is near to the brokenhearted. Psalm 147 verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. There's that word again, bind up. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Like I said earlier, we actually have to acknowledge that our hearts have been broken for God to do his work. We actually have to bring it to him. Kelly read it this morning. Let us boldly approach the throne of grace where we'll find our present help in time of need. See, if we don't address these things where our hearts have been broken and are breaking, what actually happens is that we walk around in the dangers of living with a broken heart. There's dangers to living with a broken heart. We become dangerous in a negative way because we're living with broken hearts. We're living with things that have not been addressed. I'm not just preaching today. I'm healing through a broken heart. I'm going through the process and have gone through processes over the years. But I'm in that too right now. And God's saying, I want to heal your heart. Because when we live with a broken heart, we can hurt others by our attitudes to life. We can hurt others by our attitudes to people, to how we relate to them, because we haven't addressed. And what I love is that when you decide to address these things, you're not doing it by yourself. God's in it with you. And He brings transformation. He brings healing. The dangers of living with a broken heart is that we hurt others by our attitudes towards life and people, by the words that actually come out of our mouth. See, if we're living with a broken heart, the words that will come out of our mouth about ourselves, about others, they will not be healthy at times. What else is the danger of living with a broken heart? Just think about it yourself. What are some of the dangers of living with a broken heart? A broken heart actually means you are not healthy. You're not in a healthy space in part of your heart. There's something you're not attending to. Tending to your heart. And none of us are immune to that. A danger of living with a broken heart can be isolation. You just want to withdraw, not be around people or certain people. But then it actually leads to loneliness. And God did not intend that for you or I. He created us for relationship with one another. But isolation can lead to loneliness. And actually, research says 1 in 3 Australians report loneliness, suffering from loneliness. But we all have one another. We need one another. Isolation will not help. There's isolation you can have for a little season to heal from stuff maybe, but you don't want to get stuck in being isolated. Dangers of living with a broken heart, not trusting people. I'm not going to trust anyone anymore. I've been so hurt. I'm done with it. That's not what the Lord intends for you or I. There's so much in you that others need. There's so much that God has put in you, trusted you with, and He needs you to continue growing in trusting people. Yes, they're going to hurt you. People inevitably will hurt you at some point. But God builds you up in a way that even though you get hurt, you'll still love. You'll still choose wisely who to trust and when to trust. But if you can't trust people anymore, that is not God's design. How can you trust God and not trust people? We can't let people in the season suffer because of what they did in the other season. We can't do that. We're robbing the people today because of what was robbed back then. Whereas God is a God of restoration. So a danger of living with a broken heart is not trusting people. It's being negative. We can become so negative, so critical, because there's things we haven't addressed with the Holy Spirit, with God, with the right people. We can operate even as Christians with a religious spirit where we're like, you got to do this, you got to do that because the Bible says it, and if you don't do it, I don't love you, you're getting it wrong. But we're doing all of those things because we're trying to work ourselves into God's grace and God's love. Whereas we need to just be a people that walk in love, walk in unconditional love and look at people through God's eyes. They might be getting it wrong. They might be getting it right. But you look at them through God's eyes. Ask God, how do you see these people? Dangers of living with a broken heart. Being hopeless. Losing hope. Because your heart's been broken. That thing hasn't happened. That thing hasn't come to pass. That person did this and that to you. Then we become hopeless, or we become stagnant. Stagnant is we're not moving forward, we're stuck. We become stale in a way. We're just not going anywhere. Dangers of living with a broken heart. Unbelief. We stop believing. We stop believing the best in people. We stop believing in God. We stop having faith. There's so many dangers with living with a broken heart. So why do we entertain it, guys? When Jesus actually came to heal the broken hearts. We sung it today in that song, Great Are You, Lord. That He came to heal the broken heart. You know, one major danger of living with a broken heart is unforgiveness. It's poison. Poison to your soul. Poison to your heart. When you don't forgive. Because you just hold on to it. You hold on to it. It festers. It influences how you look at things. But you know what unforgiveness actually does? It gives the devil a landing strip on your soul. Gives him something to work with. Bitterness comes in. Unforgiveness. Matthew 6:14, what does that say? It says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also, oh God, forgive me, Lord. But he's saying, but have you forgiven that person? Oh, but do you know what they did? Well, do you know what you did? That's what God will be saying. He forgives us. But he wants us to forgive others. And yes, it's hard to forgive. But guess what? With God, it's not. You rely on him. You realize how much he's forgiven you. I make it sound easy, but it's not hard. I'm going through a process of forgiving my stepfather. It's been a few years. I had a massive falling out with him. And I said sorry back then. But still working through those issues in my heart. You know, when you think about forgiveness, our church went through a massive thing last year. Senior pastors had to leave because of an inappropriate relationship. And that hit me hard. It hit a lot of you hard, but for some of you, you might not be as entrenched in it. But when you're on staff, it is huge when people speak into your life every week. People you love, people you walk with, people you look up to. But they're just human like you and I. But it took me a while to forgive Pastor Corey. It took me months. And I'm still processing it now. But it took me months to actually say, hey, Pastor Corey, can we catch up? Sat down with him and said, I just wanted to say I forgive you. I love you. And that was hard. But guess what it did for me? It freed me. It brought healing to me. Are there people in your lives that you actually need to sit down with and actually forgive? Even though you were right. Even though you might have not done anything in that situation. But you just need to forgive them because it actually holds you back. There's dangers of living with a broken heart. And it's, yeah, I know I just mentioned that like that. It can seem like I'm just throwing it. It's hard for me to mention that. And there's a bigger process all behind that. So I'm not making light of these issues. But actually, this is a thing that God is pointing in all of us that we need to not walk around with unforgiveness. We actually need to say, Lord, who do I need to talk to and forgive? Or who do I need to ask for forgiveness? So are you seeing any of these things in your own life? All those dangers, there's so many of them, isn't there? Can you see any of those in your life? You know, for a broken heart, there's actually remedies. You know, remedies is to do with healing. You know, when something is remedied, it's actually healed. It's treated. And we know Jesus is the healer. Remedies of healing a broken heart. It starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. But guess what? Jesus is the healer, but he works through people. He works through medicine. We heard Prem talk about it last week. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, but he works through you and I. We need to have people in our lives for healing to take place. He uses methods. But what Jesus has, what God has, what the Holy Spirit has, what Jesus has, he gives to you and I. What he is and what he has, he gives to us. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's upon you. You should be looking at that Luke 4:18 and speaking those words over yourself. Because what if we're saying we're abiding in Jesus, we're remaining in him, and we're being Christ-like, then his job description needs to be our job description. We're to bring healing to the brokenhearted. So the Spirit of God that is actually upon you in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord. What does it say in Isaiah chapter 11? Is it on the screen? Maybe it's not. I can't remember if I put that one down. Go to Isaiah 11, verse 2. It says this, talking about the Spirit of the Lord. Isaiah 11, verse 2. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Did you catch what it said about the Spirit of counsel and might? This is the Spirit that is available for you and I. Spirit of counsel and might. The counselor is the Holy Spirit. He wants to counsel you. But his Spirit is also on you so that you can bring counsel to others. This is what we have. What he has, we have. What he has, he gives. But you only get it if you give your life to him. There's a beautiful exchange that takes place. You give him all that you are and he gives you all that he is. So he is the main remedy. The Holy Spirit himself is our comforter. A broken heart needs comfort. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Matthew 5, verse 4. John 14, 26 talks about the Helper coming. The Holy Spirit has been promised, and the Holy Spirit came and is available. He is the remedy. So let's talk about a few practical things when it comes to healing a broken heart. Remedies for a broken heart. Can you guys relate to any of what I'm talking about today? I'm not just by myself. So when you're going through hard times, when your heart's been broken, you actually need to have close friends and family around. Do you have one or two friends that you can actually talk to these things about? Man, that person did this to me. Man, God's not answering this prayer. Man, look at what happened. Who will you talk to about it? Do you have close friends and family? We talk about discipleship here at Pneuma all the time. Who is discipling you? Who is mentoring you? Who are you doing life with? Do you have people that will actually check in on you? Do you have people that you check in on? So think about when you come to church. You know, they say on average, people only come to church like once every 3 weeks. Some say maybe once every 6 weeks. Imagine that. You guys can't imagine that because you come to church every week, right? Because that's just the house of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord. But just think about coming to church, right? If you come to church, if you're someone who comes to church and you miss a week of not coming to church, You miss a few weeks. Just if you miss church, if you don't have anyone that notices, calls you, texts you, hey, bro, where were you? How basic does that sound? But if you don't have anyone that would do such a simple thing like that for you, you need to step up. Because it means you're just coming to church for yourself. If no one's actually, it's either the people in this church are so selfish, they're just thinking about themselves, or it means you're not opening up yourself to accountability, to relationship, to family. So that's so basic, but that's like 101 discipleship. If no one's going to actually check in on you, then when you come to church, make sure you talk to someone. Get someone's number. Invite someone out for a coffee. Come for a relationship. If we just come to church just to sing, get prayed for, go, we're done. Because through those relationships that come out of that, guess what? You've got people to walk through tough times with. You've got people to encourage. Is that too hard? Too harsh? Just a little bit. It's all good. So we need discipleship. Life group. Life group is a great way for you to have people that will walk with you when you're dealing with the broken heart. We have life groups this week. Make sure you join a life group this week. Visit a life group. Being in a small setting with people, talking about the word, praying for one another, doing life together. You say, oh man, I'm really struggling. Well, you're part of a life group. Like, God makes these things so simple and so plain. We don't have to do it together. It's not just you and Jesus. It's you and the whole body of Christ. We need the body of Christ. Pastoral care is another remedy for a broken heart. As your pastors, we're here to care for you. Through the ministry team, through your life group leaders, through each one of you pastoring one another. We're to be priests to one another. Prayer ministry. You know, if you're going through something, ask us for prayer. Someone will call you during the week. Someone will sit down with you one-on-one or two people with one to actually pray things through. What are you going through? Where is this coming from? They'll spend a significant time with you to pray things through. Freedom comes through that. Deliverance comes through that. Through prayer, because we're a house of prayer. See, there's a lot of dangers of living with a broken heart, but there's also a lot of remedies. Sozo. Has anyone heard about a sozo? There's a thing called sozo. Sozo actually means saved, healed, delivered. But there's a program called Sozo, it's prayer ministry, where you actually go sit with a couple of people and they talk to you, they pray for you. They ask you questions about things you've gone through to see how you view the Holy Spirit, how you view God as Father, how you view Jesus. Is there unforgiveness in your life? Is there been sexual addiction in your life? Has there been abuse in your life? Bitterness, there's so many things. I can't tell you all of it because it's such a rich thing. But pretty much if you do a sozo, what happens is you start to see the lies you've been believing. And then you start to see the truth of what God actually says. And you pray through that and freedom comes. There's so many remedies. And if you want to do a sozo, you can look up sozo. But actually, Pneuma City runs sozo. You can actually go on the website, book an appointment. But also sozo throughout Melbourne, there's all different stations. I've done a sozo, and I'll tell you what, it set me free. Anyone else done a sozo? Yeah. Just look it up. You're like, this guy's given us so many things, I can't keep up. Just remember one thing and do something with it. Healing rooms. We have healing rooms again at Pneuma City, first Saturday of the month. People needing healing for anything, physical, mental, emotional. Has anyone found breakthrough through going to healing rooms? Look at that, there's some hands. So that starts back next year in Richmond. But there's so many ways that we can heal broken hearts. We're not the ones healing them, it's Jesus healing them. But you know, grief, lament, what a way to heal a broken heart. To actually go through the grieving process. To actually grieve. To cry. to talk through it. To lament is to passionately grieve, to complain, to talk to the Lord about what is going on, God. Why would that happen to me? David does it throughout the Psalms. Where are you, Lord? It's lament, but it's not just to stay there. It's to bring you to a place of trusting in him again and seeing what he's doing. Jesus is in the business of healing broken hearts. Through all of that, one of the best ways is to be self-aware. Just be aware of where you're at. Self-awareness. I've actually been hurt. Or maybe I've hurt myself, but this is breaking my heart, has broken my heart. Lord, I need your guidance. And actually talking to the Lord about it, journaling about it, writing things down, praying about it, processing it. What better remedy is there than the Word of God? Healing comes through His Word. Actually reading the Word. We want healing, we want this and that, but we've got it here. It's all in His Word. This is what renews our minds. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you've got a broken heart, if you're going through things, whether your heart's broken, even if it's not, counseling. Counseling is such a big help. You know, they say 1 in 5 Australians experiences mental illness of some sort in any given year. But as Christians, traditionally we haven't done a good job of seeking professional help. Prem talked about going to a GP. You go to a GP, they give you a mental health plan. They'll refer you on to counselors, to psychologists. But even as a church, part of our pastoral care is we'll refer you to a Christian counselor, Christian psychologist. Man, I was married for 10 years. Now I've been married for 15 years. Just celebrated last week. But for 10 years, I was like, Lord, you called me to be a banner for marriage, to show the world Jesus' idea of what marriage is all about. We are good communicators. We love each other. We run marriage courses. Hey, babe, can we do some counseling?
Counseling?
We're good at marriage. I didn't want to go to counseling. I didn't need any help. I'm good at marriage. 10 years in, I finally went to a counselor and I realized, wow, I need help. Ever since then, we see a marriage counselor at least 4 times a year. I see a counselor just for myself. It is worth investing into. But it's pride that gets in the way. We all need help. This is all part of getting our hearts healed. Forgiveness, like I talked about before. We need to forgive. Who do you need to forgive? It's one of those things you ask the Lord, who I need to forgive? He'll tell you straight away. Because you know, because you've been thinking about it even before he asks. You know, there's that servant who his master in Matthew 18, I think 16 actually, he got forgiven for all his debts, got set free from his debts by his master. But then he went and found all the people that owed him something and he just kept asking. And putting them to work for what they owed. The master found out that the guy he forgave was not forgiving everyone else. He put him in jail until he'd paid back everything. And Jesus said to the people and says to us today, he'll do the same thing with us. If we don't forgive, we'll be tormented, we'll go through stuff. That's not his heart for us. He's forgiven us. He's dealt with it. So we need to forgive. Remedies for a broken heart. Jesus came to heal. So as people of the Spirit, we shouldn't have many of us walking around with broken hearts for too long. There's nothing wrong with having a broken heart. It happens. But we can't do that for too long. because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So we've got to address things. We've got to be aware of them. We've got to talk to people and say, hey, do I have blind spots? Hey, can you help me? We actually need to go to the great physician, Jesus, the great physician, so that we can walk with a healing heart or we can walk with a healed heart. Prem said last week, healing is a lifelong journey. So I want to ask you today, where's your heart at? Where's your heart? When you really look inside and think about, where is my heart? We have to pay attention to our hearts. You know, my heart's broken because my mom's sick. 56 years of age, she got diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Now she's 62, she can't communicate. She can't speak. She can't express herself. My heart's broken. My heart's breaking. But I'm having to talk to the Lord. Like, why, Lord? How? Yes, she loves the Lord, but she can't even express that. She can't enjoy her grandchildren. She's worked so hard, sacrificed so much. She doesn't even know what I'm doing right now. It breaks my heart. But God is faithful. It says that He's close to those that are brokenhearted. So I got to hang out with my mom a few weeks ago in Zimbabwe. And you know, throughout that whole trip, God was with me. There's a lot of things that were uncertain, I wasn't sure about. But God came through. But I had to sit there and just acknowledge that my heart is broken and that I need Him to heal me and not be in denial. So what are the things for you that you're needing to heal from? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is here for, to comfort, to heal. He's the Father of all comfort, the God of all comfort. And as you do that with the Lord, He actually uses you to bring comfort to others. He's healer. And I sit there going, but Lord, you're a healer. What about my mom? And I was trying to remember the other day, the last time I actually had a conversation where she, that I could remember proper conversation. I thought it was the time where she said to me, Steve, can you send me some prayers I can pray for myself? Because I can't type anymore. I don't know what to say. But as I scrolled back through my phone, I realized that wasn't the last conversation. We had many conversations since. But it takes those moments where you actually sit there with the Lord and say, Lord, what is happening in my heart? Lord, what have you done? What have you promised? So God is good through it all. It doesn't make sense sometimes. But like I said, she's saved. This world is not perfect. All we can do is come to Him and say, heal my heart, heal me, help me, and believe, and He does the rest. Where is your heart at? Is your heart broken because of what others have done, others have said? Is your heart broken because of situation, circumstance? If your heart is broken because of what others have done, others have said, then you need Jesus to heal your heart. And you need to come to that point of saying, Lord, heal my heart. Help me. Go on that journey. Because of what others have done, because of your situation. Or is your heart broken towards God? This is a healthy kind of broken. Because David, he had sinned, committed adultery, didn't fully get what he'd done. He gets convicted by the prophet Nathan. And David says his words in Psalm 51, verse 17. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. This is about coming to a place of, wow, I've messed up. Wow, I'm a sinner. Or, wow, I need God. of humbling yourself. I need God every day. I need to be humble. I need to look at others through His eyes and not think more of myself than I should. Being broken towards God, realizing how much you need Him. This is a good kind of broken. If you're at that place, guess what? That means you are healing. You're actually healing because He's either convicting you of stuff or you're working on dying to self every day. That it's not just about you. Where is your heart at? Maybe you've been healed from past hurt. Maybe you've been healed, you've processed, you've done the counseling, you've done all of that, you feel healthy. You're like, I'm in a good place. Then guess what? You need to guard your heart. The Bible in Proverbs 24, verse 3. Did I get that right? Other way around. Proverbs 4, 23, what does it say? It says, above all else. That's really important, isn't it? Above all else. Guard your hearts. You might be like, Steve, what are you talking about, man? I'm sorted. Guess what? You need to guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life. It says everything in life flows from the heart. The issues of life flow from the heart. So if you feel you're in a healthy place, you're reflective, you're introspective, and all of that. You actually need to guard your heart. All of us need to always guard our hearts. So I encourage you today to pay attention to where your heart is at, to acknowledge where your heart has been broken or is breaking, and actually bring it to God and stay in a place of humility, of dependence. Because God, He actually wants to give us a new heart, a whole heart. His heart. We need to let the Lord do some heart surgery on us because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Can we close our eyes?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.